beautiful downtown Milheim, in the smack dab center of the Keystone State. This is Lou Bryson with Seen Through a Glass, the podcast that's mostly about food and drink in central Pennsylvania. Welcome to episode 36, The Foodies of State College. Yes, I'm doing an episode on a Facebook interest group. If you're not familiar with the Foodies of State College group on Facebook, they've grown in number substantially since being founded only a few years ago. This week, in fact, founder Hector Cruz announced that membership had reached 20,000. Well, so what? Why is that a topic worth covering on a podcast that is, arguably, trying to do the same thing? What's more, does Facebook really deserve to be a topic? I know for certain that some of you are not on Facebook, or maybe on any social media. And if that is you, well, my sincere thanks for deciding to download and listen to the podcast. I do think it's valid, and of interest, and maybe even fascination. The Foodies of State College have not only grown in numbers, but they've grown in influence as well. And despite protests from some members, they've grown to cover good food in more than just State College. The Italian restaurants of Altoona are a frequent topic, for instance. They've even spun off other groups, like the FSOC Home Chef Edition, where we talk about food that we cooked ourselves. And there's an unsanctioned version of the group that encourages a more, well, a more frank discussion of bad food experiences, which to me is clear evidence that the original Foodies group has truly caught on. I mean, I'm starting to see a little backlash against Seen Through a Glass, and that fills me with pride and confidence. No, not really, I'm kidding. I mean, why would anyone bother? So this episode, we're going to talk to Hector Cruz about why he started the group and what it's about and why he thinks it's worked so well. And then I'll tell you about some of the places I've gone to because I saw them talked about on the group and how a few restaurateurs have worked with the group. Or did they use the group? Or is it just a natural synergy? We'll talk about how the Foodies group compares to some other regional food groups on Facebook and why I think it's maybe a better group than most, and how I would really like to see more like it spring up. It's kind of a meta episode. A guy who likes to talk about food and drink, talking about people who like to talk about food and drink, and why we all like to talk about food and drink, and how we can do it better. Phew. We'll get to all that, but first, here's what I'm drinking today. What I'm drinking today is Three River Triple, from Bridge Brew Works in Fayetteville, West Virginia, kindly delivered to me by my old friend in the business, Matt Geyer, who owns the Beer Yard in Wayne, Pennsylvania, a great little beer store where I actually worked retail back in 1994 before Matt bought it from my boss, Buzz Ordonio. Why did Matt bring me a triple from West Virginia? If you've been following my other webcast adventure, What's Brewing PA, you'll know that the host of that show, Glenn Macnow, put us on a quest to have a beer from each of the 50 states in this ninth season of the show. Some of the states proved harder than others, and West Virginia was one of them. We both started pulling strings, and as often happens, more than one string came through. Someone also delivered a West Virginia beer to Glenn, and he sampled it on a show they taped earlier this week. I'm only on about half the shows in a season. But the upside of this is that now I can drink the surplus beers with you. Three River Triple is named for three scenic rivers in West Virginia: the Gauley, the Bluestone, and the better-known New River. Bridge Brew Works is named for the nearby New River Gorge Bridge, which has been on my bucket list for about 20 years. I am going to get there. But the beer. This is a 9.5% triple, a Belgian Abbey-style beer known for effervescent citrus and spice. Let's open it up and take it for a run down the river. All three of them. All right. That poured a really nice, deep orange color. Got some gold to it, but some ruddiness to it as well. White cap of foam on it. Let's take a sniff. There's that citrus and a spiciness that's almost like a German Hefeweizen. It's just right on the edge of clove or coriander or cinnamon. I would love to have a pastry that smelled and tasted like this. Speaking of tasting, Ooh, oh, that's lively. Wow. A lot of triples are, I guess, more rich, whereas this one has a really nice edge to it. And I don't mean tart edge. I mean, this is a zippy kind of sassy, sharp edge that really wakes things up here. Mm. Effervescence is good. There's a good fizz here. Finish sticks just a little bit. But, yeah, there's a, I don't know, a common character to triples. It's a back spice in the mouth. It's a spice that only comes out when you actually swallow. And this is why you can't just swish and spit with beer. You really have to swallow it. And I don't know how to describe it other than kind of orange and coriander. It's not like a Witbier. You would think, well, Witbier, but it's bigger than that, more floral. That's pretty good. I also have a double from them. You might get to hear that next week, or I might just drink it. So, yay. So now that I had my drink, that means it's time for Smack Dab in the Center, sponsored by the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau. Judging from what you hear on Seen Through a Glass, you probably think that all I ever drink is beer, whiskey, and the occasional cider. That's close, but those are the drinks I write about. I drink wine too, but that's just for fun. So when my wine club decided we'd try some Pennsylvania wines, my first thought was University Wine Company, out the Shingletown Road from Bowlesburg. Why? Well, first, I really like their sparkling wines, and I was pretty sure no one else would think to bring a sparkler. Why is that? I don't know, but I love them. And their Ovation Sparkling Rosé is delicious, and you can drink sparkling wines anytime. So that's what I got. But second, it's because going to University Wine is fun. There's a beautiful, relaxed tasting room where you can get wine by the glass or bottle, grab some snacks, and unwind. There are also outdoor tables with a nice view across the valley, trivia nights, live music, and as the weather warms up, you can grab some of their U-Freeze wine slush to go and take the party home with you. University Wine Company. It's a family-owned Pennsylvania winery, the kind I like to visit. Cheers! As I said, the Foodies of State College Facebook group hit 20,000 members this week, a huge number for a food and restaurant group in a relatively small region. Not everyone is from State College or even Center County, but wow, if they were, the population of State College is 40,000. That's half the town. Like almost everything else here in Center County, of course, Penn State's massive turnover of students and parents contributes to that. Which brings up, why don't we talk to the guy who started it? Guy who wasn't even living here when he did. Hector Cruz was just another Penn State parental unit, but he was accustomed to eating well in Miami. It occurred to him that starting a foodie group on Facebook might be a good way to find out where the good places were. It turned into a lot more. So I asked him about that. And just a side note, it's funny that in a year and a half, this is my first remote interview. Hector's such a hard guy to find time to talk to, we decided to do a Zoom interview. He was literally in his car, pulled over on the side of the road, talking to his iPhone. You'll soon see why him doing an interview from his car is appropriate. I warn you, he does definitely sound like he's on a phone, but I think we'll be okay. So listeners, here's Hector Cruz, Mr. Foodies of State College. I'm here with Hector Cruz. You're the founder of the Foodies of State College group on Facebook. How many members are we up to now?
So right now we are around 19,500.
And in how many years? When did you start?
2018.
Wow.
2018. Yes.
That's pretty good. what? Why did you start it?
Well, my daughter was attending to Penn State, and we used to visit her a lot, and always was hard for me to find a place to eat, you know, other than drive around.
And where were you visiting from? Where do you live? Or did you live?
At that time, I was living in Marco Island, Florida.
Okay.
And every time that we visit, you know, and I like to visit restaurants, especially when you are on the road, it was a little bit difficult to find a place other than Yelp and TripAdvisor, which I don't like too much. And after 2 years, and we moved to a State College, and I said, you know what? Let me start a page, you know, and retire. And I worked for 20-some years for Audi, mm-hmm. and back in Miami. I say, oh, I have some free time. Let me start the group and let's see how that goes.
Didn't it though?
Yeah.
So
at the beginning was only me, posting and visiting restaurant and it was very slow at the beginning.
Yeah, I think I joined in 20 or 21. Yeah, and I mean that time it was already pretty well established, but yeah, it's grown quite a bit. I mean, I know when I actually joined, I hadn't actually moved here yet. We were kind of moving between our house here and our house in Bucks County, which we sold in 21. Do you have any idea where? There are definitely members who do not live in Center County. Are they just scattered all over, or?
I received many members from Penn State, either students or parents.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, every year they come new students, they come new parents, and they join the page. But also, you know, local people that find out about the page also become a members, and people from surrounding area are starting to join the group.
What's about? I've been noticing more posts from like Williamsport and Altoona and. I mean, places farther out.
Well, I think because I think how Facebook works, when a page gets so popular, I think people start seeing the page on the profile.
Right, it just starts popping up.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, you know, State College, I'm very close to a lot of those places. You know, we're talking about 45 minutes, 1 hour around.
Right.
And yes. I think they come to the page, they see, you know, our local restaurant, the excitement about the people about the food. And pretty much they visit the State College to try those restaurants, those dishes.
So the name Foodies, Foodies seems to mean different things to different people. What does that mean to you?
For me, Foodies is like, a person who really like not just to eat a lot. Because I not consider myself that I eat a lot, you know, just good food, good quality food with really good flavors. Most of all, from different places, you know, uh-huh. I love to try food from any part of the world. I try. Some of them I like it, some of them I don't, I hate it. But yes. I can say I try this, I try that. And that's what I consider a foodie person.
Okay.
No, I always consider that food, the culture of the food, you know, is bring people together.
Yeah.
So, and you can also learn so much about other countries, trying their food, you know, talking about it. And that's something that I really like.
Yeah, Peruvian food. I've learned a lot about that, and like you said, a lot about the culture. I just, it's fascinating.
Now that you mention Peruvian food, is one of my favorites.
The
top three, yes.
Nice, I actually got going on, I took a trip to Chile, and in Chile, everybody thinks Peruvian food is great, which I found it kind of amusing. And then I started looking for it here, and I mean, it's out there. You got to look for it a little bit, but it's really, really good.
In Miami, it's been a boom. All Peruvian restaurants for quite a while right now. For the last 15 years, 20 years, Miami have an extremely good Peruvian restaurant.
Nice.
Yes. Every time that I go there, you know, I get my portion.
Yes. So where I was living before down in Bucks County, we had a whole lot of Italian, a fair amount of like Russian, Ukrainian, Kazakhstani, that kind of food. I get up here and I mean, it's on a smaller scale, but there's a fairly broad representation of different cultures here. Is that because of the university?
I think pretty much it is because of the university. You know, something that I really like about State College is a lot of diversity.
Yeah.
You know, and the neighborhood that I used to live, on my street were people from American people, Asian people, Indian people. It was people from everywhere. I think that pretty much is the reason that State College had such a good diversity of food.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely the most diverse area in central Pennsylvania, that's for sure.
Yeah, for such a small town, yeah, we have food from a lot of countries.
Yeah, yeah. There are foods that come up all the time on the group, pizza, cheesesteaks, and ramen. What is it about those foods that make them so popular?
That's funny, yeah. Every time there's somebody posts something about pizza.
Yes!
That post is up to sex always. I think because, it's a college town. You know, we have a lot of pizza places. I think that is the reason that we have so many.
These are popular foods with,
well, pizza. Everybody likes pizza.
Sure, sure. Everybody's got opinions about pizza. That's for sure.
And about the cheesesteak, well, it's Pennsylvania. We're so close to Philadelphia, so I didn't know there were so many versions of a cheesesteak.
Yeah.
Every time that somebody posts something, this sandwich had this sandwich had that. But at the end, they're all good.
Yeah, yeah. So that was leads to another question. I mean, there are some, squabbles in the group sometimes. Well, write negative reviews or, that's not in this area or what real pizza is. But you really keep a pretty good control on that. You kind of guide things. What's it like being the admin of a group this big and at times this fractious?
You know what? Sometimes I think about that myself. I think I am natural for that. I was an Audi sales manager.
Right.
I have 20, around 20. All we have are between 16 and 20 sales people and my team. Different character, different personalities that I have to deal every day. Plus, and talking with customers all day. I know I have that gift that I know how to handle with problems in a passive way.
You never do it by yelling. It's great.
I have a lot of patience, and I try to not to try to have everybody happy because that's impossible.
Yeah.
But I try to have the group that everybody get along, and that's one of the purpose of the group is because there are so many groups that I have been on Facebook that always the argument, people fighting, people insulting each other. And that was something that I didn't want in my group. I want 2 years of State College, other than people go and talk about food, to be a place that people feel comfortable, to talking to each other at the point that, we have it now, more what I call Foodie of the State College Tour, and where people now is meeting in person and talking about food and as a community. That is something great. That's I always have that in mind. But Amy, one of our members, came with idea and to do it like a monthly event, and I think it's getting popular. And every lunch, there are more people that are going to this event. Eventually, I would like to maybe try to do dinner too. Yeah, adding that.
Yeah, I just met Amy at one of the lunches last week. It was fun. It was fun talking to people about food.
Yeah, of course. I love
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and another thing, I mean, we went to Sakura, and I'd never been, and I mean, some of the people at the table were more knowledgeable, and were happy to explain what everything was on the menu, what was good, what they'd had before. It was great.
Then, other than the people are meeting each other, also we are helping our local restaurant support them in
right.
that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I don't think people appreciate that enough, because that's a big part of it. And you let the restaurants post on the group as well, but you keep a limit on it. You try to ask them to only post once a month.
Oh, no, four times a month. Once a week.
Once a week. Right.
Once a week, yes, because you know, I don't want the group became an advertisement place for.
Yeah, I've seen other groups go
all
that
the time
way
because then it's gonna be, I don't know, kind of boring.
Yeah, yeah, I don't want to read your daily special every day.
Yeah, sometimes they try to post more than once a week. What I recommend to them is that, you know, if you have a different fashion in the week or any event on the week, just, you know, put it on one post. Every, you know, like I tell them, you can post whatever you want about your business, but once a week. So you can do one post and put everything that you're going to have in the week,
sure,
and then you have it.
Where do you see things going with this? I mean, you've got this is a big group. I mean, it's especially a big group in Central PA.
Yeah, it is amazing, right? And and the kind of an engagement, you know, is unbelievable. You know, we have you know, every month over 7,000 comments, 6,000 posts. You know, when I see the inside of the group, it's like, oh my goodness! You know, the engagement is amazing. It is amazing. The future of the group, I didn't think too much about that.
Okay.
You know, I just want to keep it to you know, people continue doing what they're doing, posting about the local restaurants and supporting them. And let's see what happens.
I like that. Yeah, because it really does. It helps the, like you said, it helps the people and it helps the businesses. It helps the restaurants too.
Yeah, it's a win-win situation there.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these places I would not have known about except seeing it on Foodies. Just simply would not have known. And even some places, I know some places in Williamsport I heard about on Foodies. Some places in, I heard about the We Are In. I'd never, in Phillipsburg. That was how I learned about that place. And now Pat and I are buddies and we made roast pork sandwiches. So that was pretty fun.
Exactly. Also, I went to a place that close to the We Are In called it's the Barbecue Joint. Oh my God!
Oh, Graham's.
Graham's
up in Spoke. Yeah.
Yeah, that place. When you go to that place, it's, you know, it's this place like you know, out of nowhere.
Right.
And I love barbecue. So I went there and I fell in love with the ribs and everything he made, his barbecue sauce and everything. And I posted on the group, you know, a lot of people try that place because I put it on food on the group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, it's not like it's nearby, but you know, people find it. People go out of the way and find it because they trust somebody's review. Yeah.
Yeah, there is a lot of places that I find out about the page too. You know, one day I saw, that was a years ago, about Cafe Alina in downtown.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know about that place. I remember the poster. I say, I never knew. I comment that I didn't know about that place. Well, this place has been open for almost a year now, and I didn't have an idea. And when I try, I love it. The food is really, really good, very flavorful.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar to Indian food. I find it a little bit more spicy, a little bit more flavor. Mm-hmm. But really good too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, another one that I found, Four Ways, the Four Ways Pub over Milesburg, Bellefonte. I mean, just a roadside bar, but food is really, really good.
It is really good, yeah. That they have one of my favorite in the area, the Reuben sandwich.
Oh yeah, exceptional Reuben. Really yeah. No, it's great. And then you know, a lot of these places, you just sometimes you would, because they don't have a budget for advertising promotion. Word of mouth does it, and this is a big mouth with a lot of words.
definitely. You know, we are almost 20,000 in the group already.
Yeah.
You know, every time that somebody posts about a local restaurant, it's promotion for them. When they do it too, you know, I think it's better than put an ad in the newspaper.
Yeah, it really gets it out there. I mean, I would encourage the listeners. It's just Foodies of State College, right? It's a public group on Facebook.
Yes.
That's all I got, Hector. Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate you doing the group. It's a service. It obviously brings you joy too.
Yes. Hopefully I meet you in person one of these days.
Yeah, that'd be good. All okay. Right. Thanks. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'd like to do more of those remote interviews, to be honest. Packing up the gear and driving to the interview subject is a lot of work, sometimes up to 6 hours of driving, plus the gas. Of course, it also allows me to meet the person face-to-face and see their operation, but sometimes I've already done that. Please let me know what you thought of this. If you hate the sound quality, let me know. If it's not that big a deal, let me know. You're the customer here. Back to the topic at hand. Why do I visit the Foodies of State College group several times a week? Okay, maybe every day. Well, I like to ask questions. Where can I go for Japanese food? Where are the best local butchers? I ask a lot of questions of the group for these episodes, and they've been a great resource. Because a foodie is kind of like being a fan. You know more than the ordinary eater, and you love to talk about it. And like fans, we're passionate about this. We have strong opinions. Which is not to say we like to argue about this, but man, when a pizza discussion starts, stand back. Some of that stems from the significant number of transplants from New York and New Jersey who definitely have opinions, but be real, pizza is something that sets almost everyone off. So sometimes I'm checking by to check in on one of those bubbling discussions. You know, I'll bring the popcorn and just watch. Hell, if it's one of the similarly interminable cheesesteak discussions, might even join in. There's another side to it. For anyone who asks questions in a group like this, there's a fairness in give and take. If you're going to take, it behooves you to give as well. So I do visit the group to see if anyone has asked a question I can help answer, because I like to contribute. Sometimes fun things come out of those contributions, because Hector has a policy of allowing restaurants to join the group, so long as they keep announcement-type posts down to once a week. And people will ask questions like, why doesn't that place make that lemon dessert anymore? And the restaurants may well respond. Sometimes they'll explain why. Maybe they can't get the ingredients anymore and the substitutes all suck. Or they might say, hey, we can make that again, sure. I set one of those off a while back when I dropped a big Philly monkey wrench into a cheesesteak discussion by noting that the sandwich we really love and adore in the Philadelphia area is the roast pork, that flavor-stuffed long roll sandwich filled with thin-sliced pork with braised greens, classically broccoli rabe, but endive or spinach works too, sharp provolone, lots of garlic, and damn, I miss them up here. And the next thing Pat Romano at the We Are Inn was saying, he did too, so he was going to get a box of broccoli rabe and make some. And didn't a bunch of Foodies group people show up to eat them? Which gets into another area of discussion. There are other food groups in towns around central PA, Harrisburg, Williamsport, Altoona, and others, but most of them seem to be more like places where restaurants and markets and food trucks will post daily, weekly specials. People seem to enjoy it and find it useful. Hell, I often check the Dubois PA Food Trucks group when I head that way for exactly that reason. Is that kind of thing using the group to market a restaurant? Well, first off, I'd quote the great Bill Withers and say, I want to spread the news that if it feels this good getting used, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Yeah, give me that food info. And that's one of the things I like most about the Foodies group. Restaurants have jumped in. Chefs have jumped in. For instance, that's where I found Jillian Lee, Otto's soup wizard that I interviewed in episode 30. She was chatting on the group about soup. I probably would never have heard of or gone to the We Are Inn or Graham's Up in Smoke in Phillipsburg if I hadn't seen them on the Foodies group. I've actually featured a lot of places on the show that I first heard about there. Places like Pine Grove Hall, the Allen Street Grill, Tadashi, Blonde Bistro, Cafe Luna, Hofbrau Pizza, and Bonfato's, plus most of the places I went to in Altoona, other than the Knickerbocker and Boyer's Candy. I mean, I do know some things. There are some places that get talked about all the time by the foodies that I hadn't been to, though. So last weekend, while Kathy was away visiting her brothers to see the eclipse in upstate New York, my traveling companion from the Hanover episode, Dave Dries, joined me for a lightning tour of six Foodies of State College highlights. Come along. We left my house in Milheim about 11:30, timing our visits with the opening times of the places and our own hunger. First stop was Carter's Table. Sean Carter brought his mobile taco magic to Milheim Summerfest last July, and I've wanted more of it ever since.
He opened his restaurant in January of 23, and man, why haven't I gone? So we did. We got a 3-taco flight of lamb barbacoa, chicken lime, and brisket tinga, double-wrapped in corn tacos and sprinkled with pickled red onions. We hit them with our choices from the sauce bar. I went with fire-roasted salsa and chipotle mayo and tore into them. Three very different flavors, but three similarly delicious tacos. And those corn tacos held up through every bite. I was licking my fingers at the end. So damn good. Not long on atmosphere, and I've heard it can actually get a bit smoky when they're busy, but the food is killer good. Back in the car and off to the pizza place that's been driving the foodies crazy, 8 Mile Pizza. The obvious tribute to Detroit in the name gives it away. This is Detroit-style pie. Square cuts, crispy bottom, burnt cheese edges. There are only one or two small tables. This is a takeout place. So we ordered two pizzas to go. A large hot honey pepperoni, their signature pie, and a small garlic dill pickle pie, because hell yes. Then we walked up two blocks to another foodie's rave, the Choo Choo Bun Taiwanese Bakery. I know I don't do a lot of sweets on the show, but I'd heard so many good things about the place that I wanted it. And they were right. We got more to-go stuff. See, I was hosting a small whiskey club meeting that night, so this was mostly for that. We got two slices of cheesecake, two Portuguese egg custard tarts, the pastéis de nata we'd had last year in Philly, and two wonderful little pineapple pastries. All of them were wonderful, I can't lie, but I really liked the cortado I got, a dark little shot of espresso and steamed milk that was just vibrating with flavor and zip. We went back to pick up our pizzas, and they were great. I've had Detroit style before, and these were maybe a bit heftier than what I've had, but the crunch of the bottoms and the cheesy crisp sides, along with the zesty pepperoni, the savory dill pickles, and dollops of honey-laced ricotta, was all fantastic. And now I'm going to piss a lot of people off, but if you take Detroit-style pizza and put American cheese on it, it's a lot like Old Forge pizza. I'm just saying. Things are often alike more than they're different, you know? Let's just leave that there. Next stop was up on the outskirts of Bellefonte at Troy's Philadelphia-style hoagies. Now that name could piss off a Philadelphian. I looked at it as respect. Philadelphia-style hoagies. The foodies consistently named Troy's as one of the best makers of two of the Philly trio of sandwiches, the cheesesteak and the hoagie. So we ordered an old Italian hoagie with the spicy Italian cold cuts and sharp cheese on a crusty seeded roll. And then I did something a little odd. I got a chicken cheesesteak, not a regular cheesesteak. Call me crazy, but it's been my experience that a chicken cheesesteak can tell you more about a place than a cheesesteak. I don't know why. This is all beautifully subjective, my friends. These we didn't toss in the back. These we ate fresh. Good call. The hoagie was quite good. Maybe could have had a bit more meat, but I don't really hold with some of the meat monsters you'll see on the internet. That's just manhood measurement, if you get me. I want a good sandwich, and this was. The chicken cheesesteak was proper. The meat was nicely spiced and cooked well. Too many places outside of Philly do next to nothing to the meat other than just cooking it. No spices, no flavor. The only thing I'd say is to maybe use a slightly shorter roll and pack it a bit heavier. Things are tough all over. But I'll definitely be back to Troy's. I want to try more. Ugh, it was time for a drink. I can't believe Dave and I had been to four places without a beer. We didn't get beer at our next stop either. We went to Titan Hollow and had cider. This place is in the same old industrial complex as Axeman Brewery. The foodies give them high marks for their food, and the drink at Titan Hollow is their own house cider. We were, sadly, just too stuffed to eat at this point, but we each got a flight of four ciders. These offered what I thought was a good range of cider character, although I missed a really dry cider. On the other hand, only one of them was what I would call too sweet, and that's really my call, not a general flaw. The ginger cider was blended with ginger beer, and it was a wowzer, spicy and arresting. The first two sips were kind of scary, but then I tore into the rest of the glass. Titan Hollow also deserves mention for their look. They've used much more of the industrial atmosphere and the industrial detritus than Axeman did. Controls, pipes, an old smelter are all part of the look, with just enough decorative change to feed into Titan Hollow's subversively witchy feel. It's a great place on a cloudy afternoon. It's like hanging out with an exceptionally cool great aunt. We did have one more stop, and I was by God going to get a beer and sit at a bar. Luckily, Facio Luna is a great place for that. The foodies and, well, pretty much everyone in the area has been telling me to get here for pizza. Dave happily echoed that. It's a favorite place of his, and I let him order our to-go pizza. He chose the Gianetto with pepperoni, Italian sausage, and mushrooms. While it was being made, we did park it at the bar, where I was amazed and delighted to find Chimay Sanson on tap. This is an 8% Belgian triple. The same kind of idea as what I drank today, but this is a classic, brewed at the Scormont Trappist Abbey, and a beer I've been enjoying for years. I can only ever recall seeing it on draft at the Great Sabatini's in Exeter, Pennsylvania. Oddly enough, another pizza joint. And we are going to do a seen through a glass visit there. Count on it. I happily sipped the beer while we waited. We got the pie, and Dave wisely advised me to try a slice while it was fresh. That's pretty good pizza. The crust wasn't crackling crisp, but thoroughly baked and chewy, and the toppings were not overdone, nor were they skimpy. I think what I liked most about it was that it wasn't wet anywhere, from either too much sauce or not enough baking. I liked it. Score for the foodies, again. What a day. And of course, I posted reports and pictures on the foodies of State College as we went along, because it's all about the give and take, and this was my day to give. Hey, the stickers I talked about last episode did arrive, and I sent them out to our photo contest winners. I also put one on the traffic light control box in beautiful downtown Milheim, which is simply covered in stickers, mostly from bands that have played at Elk Creek. They looked great, so I went ahead and ordered a lot more, and they're going to be available soon. I also got a 10-piece sample of the same graphic on a flexible fridge magnet. They look great, too. But my daughter Nora and I are talking about new designs for a magnet. Maybe a Here's What I'm Drinking Today sign, or something with a picture of my corgi, Pippin. He's very excited about the idea. Hey, I almost forgot. Next weekend, Saturday, April 20th, I'm going to be doing a fun talk session with Dan Pucci, co-author of American Cider, at Plow & Cider's Gettysburg Taproom. It's a celebration of Earth Day in Pennsylvania, and I'm going to talk about rye whiskey, and Dan will talk about cider. I'll be very surprised if Plowman founder Ben Wink doesn't jump in at some point, because when Dan and I are done talking separately, we're going to be talking about exactly what cider is, and what Pennsylvania rye whiskey is, and taking questions from the audience. I don't have the exact details, because we're kind of winging it still, but it's going to run from 3 to 5 Saturday afternoon. I'll have books, and I'll probably bring some stickers, too. If you find that interesting, and to prove Ben wrong, because he says he's going to do this, even if it's for an audience of one, him, check out Plowman's Facebook page and look for the event. Hey, there's an apple grafting workshop at noon, too, so you can go to that and stay over. Hope to see you on Saturday. That's the show. Thanks to Hector Cruz for the interview and for all the good advice I've gotten from the foodies. I love it when people tell me where to get good eats. As always, you can see those episode-related pics on Instagram at Stag Podcast and on Facebook at Seen Through a Glass. If you're listening to the show on the radio at WSOV, there are over 30 more episodes to enjoy, including a Milheim episode and a Nittany Valley episode at seenthroughaglass.podbean.com. That's Podbean, P-O-D-B-E-A-N.com. Or you can find us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to toss a bit in my hat to keep the show going, I have a coffee button in my Instagram link tree. That's at Stag Podcast and at the Facebook page. Coffee, it's KO-FI, is an easy way to drop me a few bucks online to help keep this going. And if you've already donated, thank you. If you're not familiar with the Yankee-Pennamite Wars, they were fought on and off from 1769 to 1799 between Pennsylvania and Connecticut. It's a weird bit of American history, but what really weirds me out is that some people still think that Pennsylvanians are also called Pennamites. No, we're not. Stop it. The next episode is next week. Ugh, it'll be brutally busy to get it done that quickly, but I really want to get back on schedule. I've got some whiskey events in Southwest PA this month, and you're going to benefit from that. I'll be interviewing Jim Huff, the man behind Liberty Pole Spirits in Washington, PA. If you haven't heard of them, you should make their acquaintance. I think they're one of the top whiskey makers in Pennsylvania, which means they're one of the best rye whiskey makers anywhere. I'm also going to get a short interview with Matt Strickland at Pittsburgh Distilling.
Matt has a wealth of experience in craft distilleries and teaches distilling as well. I'm going to talk to him about his project at Pittsburgh Distilling and Iron City. You might also hear some more about covered bridges, because I'm planning on visiting over 20 of them while I'm down there. And of course, the guy's got to eat, so we'll see what we can come up with there. For instance, I really want to try this cold cheese pizza everyone keeps telling me about. And there's something called Chicken Collini that looks sinfully good. Add in that I'll be traveling with the famous Sam Komlenik, and you know I'll have some stories for you. Until then, thanks for listening. This is Lou Bryson on Seen Through a Glass from the smack dab center of the Keystone State.